I want to pause for a few moments this morning and to think about Palm Sunday and to just lead into the moment. And of course, it is the beginning of Holy Week, and it marks the time that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And John records the event this way, also known as the triumphal entry. And this is in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." As his first disciples did not all understand this, only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, that scripture is recorded in all the Gospels in different versions with a little different emphasis. And this morning I want to pause and to think about the event on Palm Sunday and think about kingdoms in collision. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this pastor who went to the church one morning and he found a dead donkey on the church grounds. Well, he was upset about that, and so he decided to call the health department to have them remove it. And so he called the health department and told them the situation. The health department said, "Well, we'd be happy to remove it, but we can't do it without the mayor's permission." And the pastor knew that the mayor was known to be very rude and often angry, and so he was reluctant to call the mayor, and finally he did. And, of course, the mayor did not disappoint, and the pastor told him the situation, and the mayor started ranting and raving about it all, and then finally the mayor told the pastor into the phone. He said, "Why are you calling me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" Well, the pastor thought, and he prayed for a moment for just the right response to the mayor, and finally he came to him. He said, "Yes, mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first." You know, the truth is that donkeys have a long history throughout human history of sort of being the brunt of jokes. Don't you know that? And it's interesting this morning as we look at this story and we see that the donkey is once again front and center. And it's an interesting moment at this time in Jesus' life. The Jewish historian Josephus estimated there may have been as many as 2.5 million people who came to Jerusalem for this event. It was the Feast of the Passover, the biggest feast of the Jewish year. And, of course, people came not just from Judea, but also from all over Europe and even in Africa to come to the city for this holy celebration. And so if you think about 2.5 million people, I don't know if you know how many people that is, but think about the Macy's Day Parade and the Rose Bowl Parade combined, and it's more people than that. That's a lot of people, would you agree? Now, we don't know if all of them were there to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem, but we know that a fair amount of people went out there, and we know how crowds are. Crowds attract more people. And as Jesus made his way into the city, we're told that he was riding on a donkey, and the children jumped on this thing first, and they began to wave palm branches and then throw palm branches down before Jesus as he rode on this donkey, shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna, and so save us." And so they were looking for a king. Now, why were they looking for a king? Well, they were looking for a king because they were under tremendous oppression from the Roman government, from Pontius Pilate and from Caesar. And so they were looking for someone to champion them, someone who could stand up to Roman authority. And so if you were looking for someone to stand up to Roman authority, what did the Roman king look like when he came into town? Well, the Roman king looked very different from this. The Roman king came with all kinds of armor, all kinds of pageantry. There was a parade before the parade, and of course the Roman king came in with armor and with a sword and with a white charger. Isn't that how we imagine our heroes today? Isn't that how we like our heroes? And so against this backdrop, against this expectation, Jesus comes riding on a donkey. And it probably confused people at first, but the children seem to get it first. How many know that children often get the message before we adults, don't they? And just as they came down with the palms this morning, and the children gladly welcomed Jesus with palms, and in fact, probably the children would have been intimidated had the king come like the Roman emperor on a white charger with swords and soldiers and all that sort of thing. And so the children got it. Just like the children got the whole thing when their parents were asking them to go to Jesus, and they went to Jesus and Jesus welcomed them. It reminds us too that when Mary came to Bethlehem, as Tamra highlighted, she came riding on a donkey. And it was not a scene of pageantry, it was a scene of humility and service. And so when you look at this, you think about the difference between kingdoms in collision, the Roman kingdom with power and prestige, and the kingdom that Jesus was bringing, a kingdom of service and humility. And nothing emphasizes this more than Jesus' ride, which was a donkey. How many people know that your ride is important? Anybody in high school know that your ride is important? Right? Your ride says a lot about you. And when you think about the president, what's the president's ride? Air Force One, right? And other things. All right, when you think about Batman, what would Batman be without the Batmobile? Any Batman fans out there? What about Elvis Presley? Anybody know what Elvis Presley's favorite ride was? Some of the older folks, maybe? That's right. A 55 Cadillac Fleetwood Pink. All right, he had some other ones too, but that was his favorite ride. We think about James Bond. I don't know, he's had different rides throughout the ages, but the Porsche, if you go way back, Aston Martin, right? There was an Aston Martin, and you got the BMW motorcycle, depending on what you want, if you're James Bond. And think about, you got to go back for this one, Steve McQueen. Anybody know what his ride was? The Mustang in the movie Bullet, right? If you haven't seen those movies, you gotta see that. But your ride is important. In fact, even before cars, the Civil War General Robert E. Lee, his horse was almost as famous as him. Anybody know the name of that horse? Traveler, that's right. So famous is that they buried the horse next to the general. If you go to Virginia, I think it is, right? And so, and of course, you know, Patton's ride was a tank. I don't know which model tank that was. But anyway, you know, when you think of Patton, you think of a tank. And so our rides are important. They say something about us. Now, my daughter Savannah and I went downtown to eat last night. And we didn't realize it, but we found out very shortly that downtown, it was prom night for Jeff High School, right? You guys know that. Probably have a few fans that are missing in action this morning that went to the prom, right? And how many know that some came in some really fine rides? Now, I don't know if those high school students can afford those kind of rides, but they at least rented them or borrowed them for that night. And, man, it looked like Hollywood. They had the red carpet out there, and the ride sort of pulling up and dropping them off, and it was a photo moment. And, of course, if you go to Hollywood, you can see the same kind of thing. But it was nice to see because everybody was dressed up. But when you think about a person's ride, it says a lot about them. Well, Jesus, instead of riding in on a charger, comes riding in on a donkey. Now, there was a prophecy in the Old Testament, little known really at that time, that the Messiah would come riding in on a donkey. Now, it wasn't highlighted a lot because that wasn't how most people looked for their ruler coming. But Jesus came riding a donkey. And it's a beautiful picture of humility. And I think it invites people who would not normally come to someone of power to come in. Just as Jesus himself was about to wash the disciples' feet, Jesus himself was about to walk through Holy Week, not just in remembrance, but actually letting it unfold. In a moment that he would give his life on Calvary, the ultimate act of love and service and humility, that we would know God's grace and God's forgiveness, that God, the creator of all the universe, would be willing to come to us as a lowly carpenter's son, riding on a donkey to give his life, that we would know forgiveness, God's grace, God's amazing grace, and God's love. And then Easter morning, as we will celebrate 1 week from today, the resurrection was the ultimate triumph over the ultimate tragedy. I don't know where you are in life and what your symbols of power are, but sometimes we see all around us, we see the symbols of power and of prestige. And of course, we want everybody to succeed, to use their gifts and talents. But in so using our gifts and talents, Jesus sets an example of humility, an example of service. And many times we think of the world, we look at advertising and all kinds of things, and we're sort of whispered that the right way to use our gifts and talents is to put other people down. Jesus would whisper to us and would show us in this moment that the right way to success, to using our gifts and talents according to God's plan and God's purpose, is to serve others, to use our gifts and talents to serve others for the betterment of humanity, to work towards peace and justice, to show God's love towards others. Some time ago, Savannah and I went to the Indianapolis 500 parade. I don't know if anyone has been to that. Another great parade. And of course, depending on the organization that was sponsoring the float, they had all kinds of things that they were communicating. And so we had the Disney floats with these giant, you know, balloons and stuff. And I guess then Disney was trying to convey their place of creativity, which they are, right? And kid-friendly kind of a place. And then there was the military group. And what do you think they were trying to convey? Sort of pomp and power, rightfully so. There was a police group there, contingency, and they were doing all kinds of things with motorcycles, but they wanted to know that we were safe. They were well-skilled, right? And there was banks there, and the banks wanted to convey that they had power, but they had stability, and that they had character. So each group, depending on who they were and the character they wanted to convey, had carefully chosen the piece of the parade that they wanted to show and how they were conveying themselves. In this moment, in this parade that begins Holy Week, Jesus is showing us that his ultimate thing that he wants to convey to all of us is his attitude of service and humility, is willing to give his life for us that we might know God's grace and God's love in a very special way. And so as we begin this journey, I invite you this week to think about the journey that Jesus took, the journey that began in Jerusalem, his entering as children welcomed them with palm branches, and Jesus made his way to give his life on Calvary and to show God's love and grace for us. And then in the ultimate victory and the ultimate act of God bringing back to life, God's victory of all those kinds of things, the sins and shortcomings that we'd have, and how God bridged the gap between himself and us with the greatest love of all kind. Now, if you think that the king that's riding on a donkey is just a bunch of foolishness, then I challenge you and I invite you to come back next week. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace. We're thankful that some 2,000 years ago, you came to show your love and your grace in the ultimate act of service and humility on that Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry. And so help us as we enter into Holy Week also to have an attitude of service and humility, to be able to watch and to wait with you and then to celebrate with you your victory. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.